To the final sermon in the book of Galatians. So if you have your scriptures, let's jump right into it. Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 18. We'll be just reading actually one verse, just verse 18. And if you are able, let us now stand together to show our respect to the holy, to the reading of God's holy word. Please give your undivided attention. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Let's quickly pray for Lord's guidance. Lord God, we come before you. We ask for your understanding. We ask for your words. Lord God, as we look into to the very meaning of what it means to be blessed, Lord God, I hope and pray that you will now fill our hearts with such joy. And may we have confidence knowing that, Lord God, in this life, it is the grace of God that will sustain us and continue to be with us. May that truly comfort all those who need your encouragement this morning. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a long journey. That is our study in the book of Galatians. And I hope and pray that you are greatly blessed for your personal exhortation and edification. For me as a pastor, it's always a bittersweet ending, in a way, to come to the end of a study in the scriptures. And obviously, I want to self-reflect to make sure that we have done a good job of learning and growing. And it also gives me an opportunity to really even reassess, have I done a good job faithfully as a pastor to teach? And I hope and pray that you will walk away with tremendous joy from the book of Galatians. We come to the final conclusion of this letter. And this is a benediction. For those of you who want to know what benediction is not something that pastor simply does at the end of each Sunday worship service to finish. It's not one of those, it's a wrap, you know, it's done, you know, go home. It's not one of those things. But rather, benediction is the final declaration of your Father in heaven who desires to bless you. The word benediction simply means a blessing. And benediction is a little different than a prayer. Why? Because prayer is something that you say unto God. Exaltation or glorification is praise that we actually utter to God. But benediction changed its course. It's not from man to God, but it's from God unto his people, and he declares his blessing unto you. And today we're going to talk about a blessing. And I have a lot to say on this, because I feel like many of us, even though we may know the meaning of blessing, many of you are confused, and to a great extent, I think we all have false expectations from God. And I don't know whether you know, actually, my own heart, but I actually wrestle with what true blessing is on a daily basis. So we will talk about that. So how we're going to do and what we're going to do in today's sermon is, it's more of a meditation in that I want you to really think carefully with me so that we will really be honest with ourselves, number one. But we'll walk away with better understanding what blessing is. And once we have that, I want us to know how it can actually change our life completely. So let's talk about blessing. And before we do, I think it's important for us to really understand, what does Bible say about blessing? Let me just start with this. I don't know whether you guys know, but one of the most common phrases that is used on social media, one of the most common hashtags that is being used is hashtag blessed. So here is something I want to think. What is the last or recent latest hashtag blessing moment in life for you? You know, I'm a huge fan of basketball, and sadly, I haven't watched one single game, okay, and during this March Madness. Yesterday, I saw this clip of this upset that took place again. Loyola and Chicago, they beat another team. They were, you know, obviously ranked lower than the other team. And last minute, this point guard, he threw up a prayer. It literally hit the backboard, hit the rim, went up to air again, and it dropped. And they won the game. Such jubilation. So during, you know, post-interview, one reporter asked, what happened to that shot? And he said, young man, you know, basketball guys were with me. And he said, I'm just blessed. Huh. What is your moment of blessedness? Getting into a grad school, we often see that. Getting a promotion, new job, we often see that. Getting into a relationship, for sure, everybody puts bless. But when we think about this, isn't it true? Our definition of blessing is when a desired outcome is met in life. When fortunate things happen to your life. And if I were to really, really be honest, we have this tendency to categorize blessing in a way that when God gives us earthly prosperity, that will make our life to be comfortable, satisfied, and somewhat convenient. It's important to recognize those things as blessings from the Lord because they are good gifts that your Father gives unto you. But if we categorize and define blessing only on that superficial level of materialistic things and earthly gifts, then we obviously miss the point of today's sermon. In fact, it is interesting, when you actually go back to the scriptures, do you know words such as blessed, blessing, or blessed appear more than 112 times in the New Testament? But here's an interesting observation. None of which connects blessing to material prosperity. Not one. Consider these passages. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. And blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is no hint of material prosperity or perfect circumstances in any New Testament reference. On the contrary, and hear me clearly, blessing is typically connected with either poverty and trial or the spiritual benefits of being joined together with Jesus. So here's one definition I want you to know. Bible's definition of blessing or blessedness is a state of mind when you come into this full satisfaction of your heart in Jesus. Though who receive God's favor, regardless of the circumstances, you are satisfied in God. It's like the definition of joy, which is never defined circumstantially. Blessing is never defined by the materialistic things according to the scripture. And you know why this is important? Because then it brings us the real definition, and according to the scripture, blessing is anything that God gives us to make us fully satisfied in God and Him alone. Anything that brings you closer to Jesus then should be considered as a blessing. Anything that helps us to relinquish the temporal and hold on to more tightly the eternal things is indeed the blessing from the Lord. And you know why this is very profound? Because it gives us a very unique Christian perspective when trials and, shall I say, difficulties come upon you. We as Christians have a radically different understanding of pain, loss, trial, sorrow, and difficulties. Why? Even though they themselves are not blessings from the Lord, but if they become an instrument, a channel to bring you closer to God, then we can say they are means of God's grace to bless you at the end. Think about that. Think about what it means to be blessed, and if the objective is to bring you closer to God so you are fully satisfied in God, then you know what true blessing is. Someone has said this carefully. Pain and loss transform us. It can destroy you or it can make you alive. While they sometimes unravel us, sometimes they can bring you closer to God in a way that you have never thought it was possible. And when at the end they make you rest in God alone, when at the end you realize that nothing can be done with your hand, that you are relying on God and God alone, then that's when you come into the state of blessedness. So here's one thing I want you to know. The greatest blessing, if you're to ever use hashtag bless, it is when you realize you are found in God. Beautiful definition, isn't it? But here's the problem. Well, here's my problem. I struggle on a daily basis because I have different definition of God's blessings in life. Here's a confession of a disgruntled pastor. I don't want my church to be sitting on a cliff that's about to fall into the ocean. I want my church to have parking lot. And I'm going to be honest. I want my church to have our own building. I want my church to give me office space. That is not slash conference room. That is not storage. That is not portable where I have to pick up monitor weekly basis to put on a table and open my books. Amen. I want membership to grow. I want budget to grow. I want better staff. Not that the ones we have are not good. That's not the point. And I don't want you to say if you're set, we want a better pastor. I know, already know that. I want a good relationship. For my family life, can I be completely honest? I want to provide for my family. I don't need a big house, but I want to maybe able to give my wife a home or a place where she could call home and give a little bigger space when it comes to kitchen. I want a little bit better quality of life, if I were to be completely honest. Maybe I won't even get to the point that, Lord, I really don't want to even think about money issue altogether. That would be nice. Wouldn't that be great? And I'm being honest. Why? Because there is a problem in my heart. Did I define blessings and I equate them with materialistic things and earthly good gifts, and when I receive them, I want to say I am more blessed? And how do I know that this is true? When I see other people post amazing things, bless, vacationing, do you really think that like nobody likes to vacation? I'd love to say, sitting in that lounge or in a hammock, beautiful picture of a beach and say, bless, I'll be blessed too. When others see all these great promotion and job thing, and here is the real condition of my heart that is so telling. When my heart is envious, when my heart is jealous. And you know what an envy is? I deserve that. The real problem behind heart that is wanting and desiring those materialistic things is a heart of entitlement. What is an entitlement? It is not the attribute or characteristic and nor the problem of the millennials only. It is actually a problem of all fallen humanity. Entitlement, by strict definition, means you feel like you have right. Entitlement means inherently you deserve special privileges and special treatment. While many of us in this room will never say, I want a house in Hillsboro, because that would be ungodly. But we all have a baseline and expectations, do we not? Minimal baseline where we say, Lord, do I not at least deserve that? No, I'm not asking for mansion, but small, humble home. Lord, do I not at least deserve a good relationship? How many of you guys want to, marry? If you're single, Lord, I don't want a bad relationship. I want a good partner, good husband, good wife. Don't I at least deserve that? How many of you guys say, Lord, I'm not even asking much, but can my family members be healthy? And if you have children, Lord, is it too much for me to ask after all that I do faithfully try to live a Christian life? Can my children be somewhat decent when they grow up? And can they be successful? And can they just go into a decent college? Is it asking too much? We all have expectations. And we say, Lord, if you truly, truly love me, should you not bless me? And is it too much for me to ask? Because I know maybe I could say to you, I deserve this a little bit. And I battle that temptation on a daily basis. You know why today's benediction is so profound and relevant? Notice what Apostle Paul says. He doesn't say, the Lord bless you, he's going to give you a good job. The Lord bless you, and he's going to give you a great relationship. The Lord bless you, he's going to give you a promotion. The Lord bless you, and every prayer of yours will be answered. He doesn't say that. But he says, not a materialistic thing, but an immaterial blessing, which is grace. Grace cannot be accounted for in a materialistic way, not could it be? Grace is something that is beyond the earthly goods that we receive. In other words, God's benediction, when he pronounced grace upon you, why grace is mentioned in the benediction is because two reasons. God wants you to combat the very heart of entitlement in your heart. And second, to bring you so that you will truly understand what true blessing is. So how does grace combat the heart of entitlement? Everyone, what is grace by definition? Grace by definition is everything that we have, salvation has been accomplished by grace, meaning we do not deserve it. You know, grace and mercy go hand in hand. And they are one of the same. Mercy, by definition, means you do not receive what you deserve. And grace means you receive what you do not deserve. So if you were to really ask the question, since we are talking about, Lord, I'm entitled to this, don't I deserve this? You know what grace does? Grace comes back to you and asks a really, really important question that you must ask in your heart. Because this is the only way that you can actually trample and free yourself from the heart of entitlement. And the question is, what do you really deserve from the Lord? A lot of people say, Lord, we are undeserving. When good things come, I know that we don't deserve this. But if you want to be really, really consistent with the scriptures, the problem is not we're not deserving anything from the Lord. The real issue is we really deserve the worst from God. It is ill-deserving that is really the case. As sinners who have rebelled against God, we deserve not mercy, but God's judgment. We deserve not forgiveness, but His full fury and wrath. We do not deserve heaven. But to be blunt, we deserve hell. If God were to really judge us according to what we deserve is not His favor, but ultimately His condemnation. Do you remember when Apostle Paul, and I preached on this once, if there's one man who can say to God, Lord, do I not deserve a little break from you? It would have been Apostle Paul. Here's a man who is faithful, super apostle, who wrote majority of the New Testament. He went everywhere. In fact, when you look at his life, there's nothing that is desirable. His life was marked by the scar, as we talked about it 2 weeks ago, persecution, judgment. His life was full of danger wherever he went. But there was one prayer that he prayed unto the Lord, and it was when he found a thorn in the flesh. Many theologians argue as to what the nature of the thorn in the flesh was. We do not know exactly what it was, but whatever it may be, it was hindering his ministry. And I know for sure that his prayers was probably a little bit more godlier than mine. So he probably prayed something like this. Lord, I want to be all in. You know I'm all in. I want to be a little bit more effective in my gospel ministry, but this thorn in my flesh is getting in the way. So he pleaded with the Lord 3 times, can you remove this away from me? I mean, little break. Can you cut me a little slack here? I mean, I'm doing this for you after all. But what was God's answer to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. We'll talk about the meaning of that a little bit later. But you know what really initial meaning of that is? No. Because you don't deserve anything. I want you to really, really know this. Do you deserve your good family? Your children? The house, job, relationship, whatever that you have, do you deserve that? Unless you get the gospel, understand what grace is, you will always wrestle with discontentment and entitlement. Does this mean that God wants to make your life miserable? You know, I am so shocked by the audacity of my heart. When I find myself complaining, by the way, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I watch those, you know, TV shows, all about, you know, home improvement, you know, flip and flop, and, you know, there's so many different shows, right? So, you know, my brain goes like this, you know, maybe I'll write a letter to the producer. Here's a little sad letter of a pastor who cannot afford a housing. Maybe they'll find me a house and completely flip it over and just give me this my dream home, right? I think about that. And then sometimes like, man, why is my life so uncomfortable? And I catch myself. Did I just think that? Did I just think that God really wants to make me miserable, unhappy? When I preach the gospel that God sent his only begotten son who loves me, who died for me, to give me a life, and just because I don't have the comfort of this life, I have this audacity to question God, Lord, do you want me to be not happy? Let me say one important thing to you. God does not give you shortchange. Today's final word is God's benediction, his blessing. He wants to bless you. But you have to understand the blessing that he is giving unto you, and that's the point. And what is a blessing that he gives unto you? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, brothers. Amen. Here's an interesting observation you can make. He concludes this letter with that word grace. But if you were to go back to chapter 1, verse 3, he begins the letter by saying grace to you. In other words, grace bookends the entire letter to say grace begins and ends. Begins in your life and ends in your life. Grace is the first and it's the last. As for to say, everything in between that is taking place in your life is by the grace of God. And here's a real blessing. When God said, grace be with you, there is a key phrase that opens and unpacks the full meaning of the blessing. It is with you. What do I mean? When Paul says, God's grace be with you or go with you, and I love the honesty of the scriptures and I love the teachings of the scripture. Bible never says when you become a Christian, it will be like a stroll in the park. Not everything will be fine and dandy. In fact, previous verse, verse 17 said, my life is all about the marks of Jesus in me. That is the scars, persecution, and the struggle that Apostle Paul has gone through. In fact, in other passage, before he pronounced the benediction, he said, I want you to remember my chains. What is he trying to say? In your Christian life, Bible tells that there will be trials and hardships. And if anyone were to tell you that everything will be fine and then it will be, you know, bright and, you know, radiance, you know, rainbow, that is not what life is. So what is the greatest blessing that Paul can give unto you? Because he knows then, not an earthly thing can ever come in to fix anything in your life. Just ask this question. For some of you who think that, I wish I don't have to worry about money, let me be very frank, where is the cut-off line? When will be enough? It'll never be enough. But when God says, God's grace be with you, what Paul is saying, here's the real promise that I want you to know. The problem in your life is not that you are lacking something, but is your lack of trust in God who will be with you through and through. Do you recall how I define blessing in the beginning? It's when you are fully satisfied in God. I want you to listen to this little blog that was written by this lady who entitled her blog by saying, what does it really mean to be blessed? Earthly blessings are temporary. They can all be taken away. Job's blessing all disappear in one day. I too had a comfortable life that was stripped away within a span of weeks. My marriage dissolved. My children rebelled. My health spiraled downward. My family fell apart. My dreams were shattered. And yet in the midst of those painful events, I experienced God's richest blessings. Stronger faith than I ever experienced before, deeper love that I had never known, a more intimate walk than I could explain, my trials grounded my faith in ways that prosperity and abundance never could. And she said this, in pain, in hurt, I longed for God's presence, and he was there every step of the way. in the very height of your life, in the lowest point of your life, what is sure is the fact that God is with you. You know why this is important? Because this changes everything. Are you poor? Then you could still say, I have God. Do you feel like you have a lot? Know that nothing, nothing can be compared to God. You have good health? You should say, like Paul, to live is to Christ. Are you battling sickness and are you dying? You should be able to say, to die is gain. When you get your true blessing, then it tells you how to live your life by the sustaining grace of God. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10 says this. This was when he was looking back his life. He writes, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. But by the grace of God, I am because he was with me the whole way. I remember watching this movie trailer, and I didn't even know what the movie was. It was bad, but trailer made more impression on my heart. It was in 2007. I remember watching this big screen, and then all of a sudden, for those of you who know John Cusack, he comes up, and the whole trailer was done in silence, except, you know, music, background music. He opens the door. There are two soldiers, and his wife was a soldier. Anyone who is in military know what that is like. They came to deliver the horrific news. Upon hearing the news, men literally falls down. He goes in this state of shock, literally loses himself. And the whole life is about a single dad raising his two young daughters. And you see the bits and, you know, pieces of clips here and there, all the struggles. And what blew me away was the final scene when the title popped on the screen. And the title goes, Grace is Gone. Genius of the movie was, his wife's name was Grace. But I think there was something more in that. If grace is God in your life, would you be blessed? It made such an impression. If God's grace is not with me, I am absolutely meaningless. I have so much more I could say, but let me finish with the final application. For those who are blessed, what is God's calling in your life? Here it is. You need to be a blessing unto others. What does it mean to be a blessing? If blessing is being satisfying God, if blessing is bringing you to God's grace, then your call as a Christian, when he said be a blessing, is to be a channel of God's grace to those who are in need. Be an instrument of God's grace. What does that mean? Let's not make Christian life to be very complicated. It means put others in your heart. Say something nice. Find out those who are in need. Lend a hand. Pray for them. Pray for them. One of the ways that you could tell whether you really understand blessing is whether there is a room in your life for others or not. Someone has said this, and this was one of those like ouch moment for me. If God were to really answer all your prayers, whose life would change? Yours only or others? Oswald Chambers said this, the good is the enemy of the best. What does he mean? You're a good job. You're a good family. Your good gifts from the Lord are good things. But if they hinder you coming to the best who is God, then they're the enemy of the best. Share your very best. And I want you to be a blessing unto others. One of the greatest privileges, I'm entitled to this, is that I get to baptize infants.